Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there and welcome to Force Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. This is the show where we go into the StarWars.com databanks, maybe to Wikipedia, help us out, and we celebrate what we find there. We did first season of this on the Companion Sci-Fi app, so check it out.
Yeah, we love doing these episodes because sometimes we can really sink our teeth into a character that does have a lot of screen time, or an idea or a place that has a lot of screen time. And sometimes we sink our teeth into a character that has very little and see how much we can draw out. That is our teaser for the topic. But before we get right into it, we want to plug our Patreon. We want to thank so many of you who have been with us for a long time on Patreon, just jumped on. In particular, there have been a lot of people jumping on for $2, and we really appreciate that. That is the foundation. If you're interested in checking out our Patreon, here's what it's about. We want to offer as much as we can to everybody. There are rewards at higher levels, but we want to offer a community. We've got a great Discord where people can have a safe, fun place to discuss Star Wars. The thing we're really excited about right now is we are experimenting with Other Center, where we talk about a topic that is not Star Wars. We are talking about Indiana Jones in a series called Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast. The first episode is up now. Soon we will release our episode discussing Raiders of the Lost Ark. So if you want to check all that out, you can go to patreon.com/forcecenter. All right, Ken, you ready for this topic?
I am.
The topic today is Gragra. I'm already having fun just saying the character's name. Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Gragra. And perhaps people are listening and going, what's a Gragra? Is he okay? What's going on? Anyway, here is the databank entry. It says nothing. Gragra's existence is not acknowledged on the StarWars.com databank. I'm offended. Are you offended for Gragra?
I kind of am. Look, this is no shade at the StarWars.com databank team. It's been put together over the years from probably a lot of different people. But that this character is why the databank exists to me.
Right? How does Gragra fall through the cracks? Luckily, Wikipedia is here for us. Her entry is short, even in the Legends tab, which is amazing. Here's what Wikipedia has to say. Gragra was a Swokes, female gorgmonger that worked in the marketplace of Mos Espa. She caught Jar Jar Binks when he tried to snatch a gorg from her stand without paying. Ken, just for your own fun, can you read that first sentence and see how you feel saying those words?
I mean, you know, occasionally I jumble those letters in my brain. So here we go. Gragra was a Swokes female gormonger that worked in the marketplace Mos Espa. Is it a sentence that if you just said out loud, people might pull you in and question your sanity?
Gragra was a Swokes sounds like, you know, Paul McCartney at his most just sort of flippant and making fun sounds, right?
Uncle Albert, Albert Halsey and Gragra the Swokes. All at a
Gragra
party.
Gragra was a Swokes. And John Lennon's like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Swokes. Cool. All right. Oh, that's amazing.
This sounds good. So some additional details from the Legends tab. Gragra grew her food in a sewer zone underneath Mos Espa. She eventually left Mos Espa to work elsewhere, which caused the gorg population in the sewers to grow considerably over the following years. Homeless people often fed on these gorgs.
Okay.
We kind of veered away from Gragra to a lot of thoughts about the socio-political situation
on
Tatooine and the life of these poor gorgs. Oh, man. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so that'll factor into some of our discussions. There's not a lot to go on in Gragra, so that's a ton of flavor.
What I love about this is I always say I have a weird relationship with Legends, but it doesn't mean I don't enjoy a lot of it or enjoy people's love of Legends. But one of the things I mean by that is I didn't pay attention to it for a long time. When I see things like this, it confuses me that I was walking around on this planet and I didn't know this was going on, that this storytelling in Star Wars was happening. And I think that's to my detriment, to a loss. I should have been paying attention to the tale of Gragra and the homeless people in Tatooine.
I think there is a magic to it. I love modern canon, and I love that it is. Modern canon can absolutely be whimsical and fun. We see a lot of that, but there is also an attention to detail, right? In my opinion, and it is funny just to see sometimes how wild Legends was. Like, that gorg that came from the sewer, and I want you to know.
I want you to know, and homeless people in Mos Espa ate them, and which means to me, Gragra's kind of a hero in a way. Like, there's a lot.
Well, and the implication that she went down to the sewers with that giant axe of hers and just slaughtered the gorg population to the extent that they, you know, grew back over the following years. It's like she almost hunted the gorgs to extinction on Tatooine. Amazing.
Right. Wow. All right.
She was busy with that axe. Anyway, if you're in a car and aren't able to Google Gragra right now, we are here to help by physically describing her. Ken, how would you describe Gragra?
A mouth with eyes and a nose, and you're like, so a face. But really, when you think about it, no, it's like a character from, I don't know, like Venom. It's some, you know, super villain that's just a toothy giant maw of a mouth with some rather sizable eyes. Actually, you know, even better, Gragra is a Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas creation. I know Burton didn't direct that film, but like, you know, that kind of vibe. He's chasing Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, the Gragra. She is, you know what I mean? Like, this is what's going on. It's horror.
Yeah. Oh no, there is, it is amazing. She's got those big eyes. It almost looks like a lemur. So like, if you just looked at her eyes, like, oh, like a lemur creature in Star Wars. No. Look at that mouth. That like, it mm-hmm. looks like it is at least 50% of her head. Right.
Yeah. Easy.
It's so big, and it feels like, you know, where she doesn't need a neck because her mouth is what opens. Like, if she needs to look up, she opens her mouth. It's truly deeply funny and disturbing. I'm with you about the Nightmare Before Christmas in particular, the Tim Burton vibe in general, that mix of horror and whimsy, but specifically the design of Nightmare Before Christmas. I was thinking of her. She looks like if Tim Burton sent an assassin to kill Kermit the Frog. There's something about her that's like this mix of Burton-esque and Muppets-esque.
Absolutely. She'd be sitting there in that waiting room in Beetlejuice for the afterlife. A lot of stuff there. Yeah, and a great point about them. You know, she and perhaps this is all swokes. Their build is a little wide, and so therefore, yeah, there is not a neck necessarily present, but you don't need one. That mouth is your neck in a way. It's the hinge that moves your eyes. It's an interesting design.
What if your mouth was your neck? That's what Star Wars is here for. God, it's huge.
I know. I'm looking at this picture in Wikipedia. When you say 50% of her face, that's close to being scientifically accurate.
She looks like one of these drawings where, like, you know, a little kid is you know, trying to learn to draw and draws what a human face looks like. And they're like, what if that was real? What if these proportions were real? And like, well, there's Gragra.
You always see that, like an elementary teacher on Instagram's like, I made real plush dolls based on my students' designs. And it's like a horse, but the legs are all on one side. You know, it's wonderful. It's endearing, and I love them. This exactly is exactly what you like. My student drew grandma, and this is what I've got to make now.
This is who makes the turkey dinner at Thanksgiving. Jeez. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. God, this, I'll tell you, my late grandmother, Ukrainian Kiev-born grandmother, passed away a couple years ago, kind of built like Gragra. And I mean that in the most warm, I feel like I'm home kind of vibe. And babushka indeed here. So love it. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, just practical, light dress and an axe. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So we got a feel for the look of Gragra, both the endearment and the terror that she causes in us. What is the magic of Gragra? What does she add to the magic of Star Wars from her design to her brief appearance in The Phantom Menace?
I'll tell you what, it's this, like, when you look at Phantom Menace as George saying, we can go back. I can start what I imagine in my head and what my concept designers and production designers and just creature designers can think of, we can maybe start to do. Whether it's the groundbreaking CG of Ahmed Best's Jar Jar Binks or something like this, just frighteningly practical. And I look at that, and that's part of the magic too. We can talk about our feelings when the character pops up in that scene. And I think in the end, I really enjoy it because it's so real. It's a gorgmonger, and, you know, selling wares, selling food at a marketplace. And it just makes Star Wars seem like that Saturday morning serial adventure. But when I look at it, I just think, whether this character specifically came from George or not, this is one of the reasons he came back.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love her because I do think she's like an evolution of the original trilogy. Everybody talked about that lived in feeling that was, you know, part of what Star Wars made Star Wars space fantasy and not science fiction. And so much science fiction of the time had been so clean, and everybody like loved talking about the lived in feel of the Falcon being, you know, all dirty and falling apart, and Luke's garage with, you know, the cars he needs to work on parked in the background while he plays with a model of a car, you know, all of those things that made it feel really lived in. she feels lived in. She's just a shopkeeper, you know. It's kind of wonderful. I live in the neighborhood of Hollywood, and sometimes, like, when I'm walking home, if I want to on Hollywood Boulevard, if I go to a movie, I can stop at any number of, you know, stalls or food trucks and, you know, just mm-hmm. buy something from mm-hmm. a shopkeeper, right? Who's yeah. plying their trade. So she feels very real and lived in terms of world building. But then she's so bonkers, right? That on one hand, it's like, yeah, what? Yeah, she's just selling some food at a stall. The most normal thing in the world for an urban community. Mm-hmm. And then you look at her,
yeah,
all mouth and teeth and horror, and with a name that sounds like the noise she would make while she's eating you. I mean, Gragra mm-hmm. is such a beautiful, weird name. It's the perfect Star Wars combination of, yeah, lived in, grounded.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers.
Bonkers. I just clicked over the Legends tab while you're chatting there with some great stuff. I didn't pay attention to her feet. Talk about magic and the design. She's got like ostrich feet.
Yeah.
Or yeah. alligator, upright alligator feet. It's next level. It's next
oh,
level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that mouth doesn't end you, the feet absolutely can. Those are big kicking feet.
Oh, my God. This is, yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot of magic around this character.
Yeah, extremely magical character, Gragra. We are going to talk about Gragra even more in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back for more Gragra.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And we are back to continue exploring Gragra, to continue exploring a character who appears in Star Wars for maybe 45 seconds. As you and I have talked about in the past, Ken, some of us in our generation of Gen X were were grumpy and challenged by specific elements of The Phantom Menace when it first came out in 1999. And in two of those specific elements were kind of broader comedy, as we thought at the time, and some kind of different alien designs in The Phantom Menace that were a little bit different from the original trilogy. Did Grogrod tick those grumpy boxes for you at the time of comedy and different alien design? Did Grogrod make you grumpy back in the day?
I have to admit, I think so. But it wasn't necessarily Grogrod. It wasn't even specifically Jar Jar. It just was what you're talking about. You went into Phantom Menace with some expectations for me as a, I think, 23-year-old, and you come out and it's slightly different. And you and I have documented our journey with these films a lot. And I want to continue talking about it because I think it's valuable to the Star Wars fandom. But yeah, looking back, like I said, this is, it's no wilder than anything in Jabba's Palace. It's no wilder than a giant cricket or whatever in the cantina. Like, it's all there. And that's part of the point, is especially back then, you had blockers onto that, I guess, where you just had Darth Vader was the reason I love Star Wars. Yeah, Darth Vader was, but also you liked that there was a wart outside of Jabba's palace. you know, it was all part of it. And I think it's easy to disassociate and disconnect from those memories. And I think I felt that Grogu was that. And even the charging for the money, like, I don't know why I would be mad at that.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Looking back, I don't think I was challenged by Grogra. And I was trying to pick apart why. Like, I was really challenged, as we've talked about, by Ben Quadraneros, because he looked really cartoony and, you know, different proportions and, you know, clearly CGI. Look to our Data Bank Dive episode about Ben Quadraneros to see our, at least my change of tune, Ken's as well. But I don't think Grogra bothered me because she looked like someone in a big costume. And I think that was like that weird... That still gets discussed about whether practical effects are absolutely better. I think she looked like someone in the Muppet Show. And like, even though I was like, yeah, I really like Star Wars to be a little bit darker and heavier. I like Empire Strikes Back is the best because it's real and it's painful, man. But also I like Muppets.
Yeah.
Like, because that was the sort of the zany side of Star Wars that I grew up with. Like, I'm totally down with Grogra for some reason. I like the big, scary, weird Muppet who said whoopee-oopee.
Well, yeah. And look, if I had, because I grew up a Muppets fan, still am, like you, like if I had gone there with that perspective and thought, oh, this is just Star Wars' Sweetums, like I'd be okay. So I didn't care that perspective. Good point.
Maybe I just didn't have enough... grumpy points left for Grogra, but I don't remember being grumpy about Grogra. I think the thing that struck me that I want to be sure to mention is that, you know, she says something that is linguistically close to Bib Fortuna's famous line of Dawanawanga, which in The Phantom Menace is translated to, are you going to pay for that? Bib's greeting to 3PO that 3PO seems to return has often been described as a greeting. But it is really funny to imagine that Bib approaches 3PO and says, are you going to pay for that?
Yes.
How did you feel about the, like, my friends and I, particularly my comedy friends, thought, you know, Dawanawanga was like the funniest thing. And we would say that to each other, you know, with raised eyebrow of like, what does that mean? Do you want a Wonga? Should we Wonga? Is it a Wonga evening?
I love these stories. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So we, I think maybe Grogra got saved from our grumpiness because we were delighted to hear Dawanawanga. What are your Wonga memories?
Well, because I was so excited to tell the story. Like, my first viewing of Phantom Menace was with one of my, still is a good friend of mine, but one of my best friends at the time. And we were Star Wars buddies and we connected actually over love of Hardware Wars and in like ninth grade. And flash forward to 99, we're living it together in LA. We used to, if we were in the, you know, this is back today, we all had like one TV in our apartment, right? We all didn't have individual TVs and PlayStations and stuff. If I had made some dinner and sat down on the couch and he's watching something and there was kind of a silence, one of us would look at each other and go, Dawanawanga. Like, it just was, it would come out all the time. So I love those kind of shared experiences we all have as fans growing up. So I should have been like, you want my Wonka, should have been like the next generation of that line. But you, again, right. So many of us refused to see it back then.
Yep. And maybe some people were like annoyed that like, how's Grogra stealing Bib Fortuna's famous line? How dare she?
Not my Bib. Yeah.
or maybe some people in the audience do want to, I go the appropriate response. And I love that, you know, obviously Bib is probably not saying, are you going to pay for that? So an interesting linguistic question for people who are deep into Huttese. All right. So you and I were both had ups and downs. I mostly was good with Gragra, but let's talk about now. We've learned more about Gragra. Do you think her food that she was selling, her gorgs, do you think they were safe? Did Jar Jar almost die from gorg food poisoning because of Gragra?
I'm going to say it's a no and a yes. Was her food safe? No, not really. Did Jar Jar almost die because of Gragra's food? Possibly. And yes, you touched upon it earlier. There's some beautiful, wonderful street food out there. There's an entire, in LA here, there's a great culture and a lot of other places, to be clear. But we are blessed with it. You and I have in the past been on the taco crawls with our friend Dorina. Puts them together. She's over there at the World Girls, and she finds some of them are Danny Trejo's tacos, which are brilliant, by the way. Some of them are these little hole in the walls vendor carts, everything. So I think there's a danger in that for me and my stomach and my weak system, that I have to be careful. If I had a gorg, it might taste wonderful. I might need to run home fast. So I think that not to turn Star Wars into potty humor, but I think that's what's going on here. Jar Jar, he's a Gungan. He's been tied to Naboo for a while. I don't think he had a lot of intergalactic travel going on in his life there. So I think he might have been like, this is tasty. What's in it? What are those spices? Oh no.
And now I want to see Jar Jar on an episode of The Hot Ones. I'd never expected this to turn into a guessing game of, does Jar Jar have an iron stomach or is he real sensitive? I think since he lashes his tongue out and just in an almost innocent childlike way, just puts anything in his mouth, I kind of think that. But maybe
a dog, like a puppy.
Yeah, like, ooh, what's that? Try that. I mean, and there is this sort of innocence that he doesn't know that he's supposed to pay for that, right? I don't feel like it's a naughty thing. He's just like walking along like, ooh, good. Yum.
Yeah.
Looks delicious. Smells delicious. Go ahead.
Well, we don't know how, in Oda Gunga, how it works. This could be a society, the Gungans, that, you street vendors are, you trade for goods and services, or it's a community thing. And he's just like, oh, look at this, food for all. And that's where he goes with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love the idea that in Gungan society, it'd be like, well, we all contribute and you just, hey, take one, you contribute to society in other ways. As much as we've learned that she gets them from the sewer, there's something about Gragra that she seems like a pro, right? Like maybe there's parts of the gorgs that you need to cut off. But I think she takes a lot of pride in her sewer meat. I agree with you. I think there are a ton of interesting, bizarre spices. And I like the idea that at the very least, it would have made Jar Jar's eyes bulge.
First of all, she takes a lot of pride in her sewer meat is takes a lot of pride in her sewer meat is one of the best Star Wars Force Center lines ever.
That's the line that John Lennon added to Gragra is a swokes.
Gragra is a swokes. She takes a lot of pride in her sewer meat.
This is absolutely a White Album song we were putting together.
Onion indeed.
So in modern canon, do you think Gragra survived until the end of the Empire? Is she chopping up stormtroopers with her axe in Mos Espa?
Yes, to all of this. This is wonderful. I think she survives. I don't know how long Swokes live, but I think she already has a grandma vibe there. I think she has she fights for her community. She fights for her people, as long as you pay the money for the gorgs, I guess. But then I think when the galaxy changes, post Revenge of the Sith, I do think during that time she fought back in her way, and the gorgs she was serving to local stormtroopers stationed there were not of the highest quality, and a lot of eyes were bulging. And every time she'd be like mumble like Gragra got one. Like, I think that's
like, not bad. Gragra got one. I love the idea that she would sell troopers, that she would have, poison gorgs, and like somebody who is not sympathetic to the Empire would be reaching out for one, and she'd be like, not that one. I'm saving that one. That one's for the Imperials. Yeah, there's something very intense and scary about Gragra. It might be that her face is 50% mouth. It might be the axe. She makes a ridiculous word of whoopee-oopee sound a little scary to me. So I also like the idea, you know, I like that it's made clear in canon that even though, hey, it's the Outer Rim, that the Empire does put their boot down on Tatooine. There's celebrations in Mos Eisley, you know. Yeah. I think the Empire made her fill out a bunch of forms for her food stall. I think they shook her down for unfair taxes. I think sometimes the troopers just stole her gorgs, maybe shut down her sewer access.
Yep.
So I think not only did she revel when the Empire fell, I think she was out there with her axe. And I think in the following days that she was selling storm sticks to the revelers, if you know what I mean.
Storm sticks, indeed. And then at that celebration, I do believe she's there at that celebration. I know she's at this point in Mos Espa, that celebration in Return of the Jedi Special Editions, Mos Eisley, right? Doesn't matter to me. I think she traveled wherever she was handing out sewer meat like nobody's business. No seven whoopee whoopee. All gratis. Take it. We're going to celebrate here. Good quality sewer meat.
Zero whoopee-oopee for the storm sticks. There we go. Here is some additional information, because we can't talk about Gragra without talking about her species, the Swokes. Here's what Wikipedia had to say about them. The Swokes were a sentient species that were native to the planet Makemtay. This little-known species had the unusual ability to regenerate body parts. This made them good at combat. Due to their violent nature, they often took positions as bodyguards and even bounty hunters. They had a reputation for being merciless, violent people caring only about themselves and vast wealth, which they saw as an indication of social status. At least three members of the species were officials in the Galactic Senate during the invasion of Naboo.
Beautiful.
So, I mean, it's great to mention that we see the Swokes in the Senate chambers there as well. But there's this whole paragraph that can regenerate body parts, merciless, violent, care only about wealth. Also, they were senators. Is this political commentary? Do you think those three senators we see, do they try to murder Bail Organa at some point? Mm-hmm. How do you reckon with this?
I think there's definitely some very strong Lucas political commentary going on. Yeah. And also, you know, hey, they have a right to be represented, I suppose. But it's what you do with that might be the bigger question. So that's some fascinating stuff. I've forgotten that, yeah, we do see them in the Galactic Senate during the same time, which just means, if it's Phantom Menace, it's like, they're like, look at George, look at this. And he's like, yes, give me my yellow highlighter. Yes, yes to this. This is good. This is practical and put them in there.
Yeah, make me at least three to four of them. We're going here. Yep. We're putting people in a costume. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the headcanon that, look, Gragra is her own Swoke. She's going her own way. Maybe these senators or officials are going their own way. But perhaps some people were a little nervous around them. Like, they're good with axes and they don't mind their body parts being chopped off.
Yeah.
Intimidating, to say the least. Yeah. All right. We always like to make it personal. We talk about the fantasy in Star Wars, but then we like to bring it here into the real world. Ken, there is a Gragra action figure. It comes with an axe, the great weird bird feet, and a bunch of gorgs dead and cooked on a string. What does that say about us as a culture that this action figure exists?
It says two things. That one, we, especially Star Wars fans, crave those small corners of this galaxy we love, and we want to take them home and put them on the shelf. You always say, Joseph, name a character, someone has a tattoo about the character or of the character. There might be a Gragra tattoo out there. But it also says a lot about, especially toy makers at the time, and this has changed, of like, it's Star Wars, give them everything. That Gorgmonger, she needs a figure. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's where we are.
Yeah, I think this is an example of the pinnacle of our civilization. Gragra has an action figure. It is a celebration of the idea that all background weirdos deserve their day in the Twin Suns. Mm-hmm. Her action figure is subtitled Mos Espa Encounter. But it just, you know, it harkens back to a different time, maybe a time that will come again, maybe – the voices of the people will rise up demanding more background weirdos. There will be shouts for Astromech Drummer, Dewey and Freedy, Frog Lady, give the people what they want. I think it's great that an action figure exists.
Yes, and I think I have room on my shelf. I have to seek out this figure.
I'm on the eBay page right now. Yeah. Anyway, gonna move away from that into this question. Would you purchase a hot dog from someone wearing a Gragra costume at Dodgers Stadium?
I already have. Like, I have in my mind, I have in my soul. Absolutely. Absolutely. I go to the LA Convention Center for like a WonderCon, which a lot of times things in Anaheim or LA, the LA Comic Con. I come out and I see those wonderful people at those carts with this. I hear the sizzling. I smell all the bacon wrap hot dogs. And I just think, how is traffic? Because I'm going to eat this in my car on my way home. So, yes, love going to Dodger Stadium. There's some wonderful food vendors there, but outside the stadium, maybe might be a spot to find Gragra. And I would absolutely do it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Dodger Stadium twice for concerts. I really just want to go to a baseball game and see how many hot dogs I can eat before I become disgusted with myself. But I would be... I'm sorry, what's that?
And the hot dogs.
And the hot dogs, yes. Yeah. I would be terribly frightened, but it would increase the likelihood that I would buy a hot dog if it was coming from Gragra. Mm-hmm. And you can get lots of different currency at Galaxy's Edge. You can get the calamari flan, which are just like milky blue discs. Mm. I would see if I could try to pay Gragra with some whoopie whoopie that I got off Etsy.
Oh, yes. So Etsy made whoopie whoopie. That's great. That's great.
There's a lot of value in Etsy. Whoopie whoopie. Come on. Come on, Gragra. Mm. All right. We're going to get into rating the wild and weird factor of Gragra. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, and that is Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Gragra?
I mean, this might be our first 15 out of 10. This is weird to the max in the most wonderful ways. From the design, what she was doing, what she was saying, the figure, everything about it, the storytelling you can create from her. I'll go 10 out of 10 for Gragra.
This is absolutely 10 Lobot heads. Not only a bonkers, beautiful design, the species name being Swoke Swokes, saying some fun dialogue, shouting about whoopee whoopee, coming with an axe in the action figure form. Not only does she get 10 Lobot heads, she personally cut them off of Lobot and cooked them for us.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's
That is our look at Gragra, a celebration of the weirdos and proof that we can talk about almost anything in Star Wars and find lots of fun and depth. You can find whatever you want in terms of Force Center by following the links on our Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on almost all the social media, so go find us anywhere that you would like. And if you are interested again in checking out Patreon and seeing if it's for you, we understand it isn't for everybody, and we appreciate any kind of support, including just listening. But if you might be interested, go and check out patreon.com/ForceCenter. Ken, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, KenNapsok.com. I've got a lot of new things on my YouTube channel, including all my game streams are now over there. So head on over to my YouTube channel. Just search my name.
Excellent. And you can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my YouTube channel where I got a lot of comedy bits. I got several short films and my not unboxing videos where I celebrate action figures. I'm sure eventually Gragra will be featured. Just search for Joseph Scrimshaw. Thank you all for listening. This has been Databank Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.